you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some times from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the Radio News Analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relations, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia. Make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin with me, David Shombe. It's that time of the afternoon that we look at the affairs of business, economics, trade, and everything that affect our bread and butter. We are greeting you from our number one favorite talk radio station, Eagle FM Namibia. And this is a platform from the hour of 1300 hours until 1400 hours. It's a platform that we look at what is happening in the country, what is happening in the region of SADC, what is happening continentally, and also what is happening at international affairs. We are greeting policymakers, lawmakers, our traditional leaders, our corporate chiefs, developmental enthusiasts, researchers, and everybody who is interested in moving Namibia from point 1 to point 2 or from point A to point B, where point B is an advanced and industrialized stage. And we also greeting those who make sure that every time they partake and engage us in conversation that matters. Today, in our news bulletin, we are going to look at local and also international affairs. We'll start with Central Bank. The Bank of Namibia released its August economic outlook. We are going to look at how is Namibian economy projected to grow in the next month of 2026. From there, we'll look at the communication, especially from Parliamentary Standing Committee on Public Accounts, especially looking at accountability issue, and also engaging the Rundu Town Council, that they found out that 7 years behind submitting annual financial statement, Parliamentary Standing Committee on Public Accounts has found out that Rundu Town Council is behind in submitting its financial statement. We are going to look at that conversation. We are going to look at that engagement. From there, we'll look at assessment mission by Africa CDC and WHO leadership, especially looking at the updates on Ebola, where is the continent standing, and we'll be able to look at the Director General of CDC, especially giving update on what is happening, especially when it comes to Ebola, and also the funds that are involved, what are some of the assistance that Africa still need, and also what are some of the progress and also challenges. From there, we'll look at the spillover effect of anti-immigrants protest, especially where 178,000 African immigrants have left South Africa, the impact of that on the economy, and also how it will impact Namibia. So let's come back shortly, especially to look at economic outlook. Then from there, we'll continue with today's news bulletin. Stay tuned. We are coming back shortly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Ngelo wapogwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushe indife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some times from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relation, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia, make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Ngelo wapogwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushe ndife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with on the Radar News Bulletin to look at Namibia domestic economic outlook. Bank of Namibia recently released economic outlook for the month of August, and also looking forward on the projection of the next month to look at where Namibia is, how the country is standing, and also how is the economy going to perform. Namibian economic growth forecast revised to 2.1% for the year 2026. The Bank of Namibia projects the country's economy to grow by 2.1% in 2026 and 2.8% in 2027, following the growth of 1.7% in 2025. That was below the target. According to August 2026 economic outlook update, the economy is expected to recover, which is supported by agricultural production, continued uranium mining activity, and growth in wholesale, retail, and construction sector. However, the forecast revised downward by 0.5% point from March outlook due to deeper contraction in diamond mining and also weaker construction activity. On top of that, Central Bank has also indicated the risk from regional livestock diseases outbreak and also continuation of tension in the geopolitics that also impact or disrupt the trade and the supply of fuel in the market. Now let us move to the next bulletin that is looking at the engagement between Parliament Standing Committee on Public Accounts with Rundu Town Council, especially on the issue of accountability and also issues of financial sustainability of the town and also reporting. It is noted that Namibia Parliament Standing Committee on Public Accounts has found out that Rundu Town Council have not been reporting as it has been expected, and they are behind in 7 years, particularly in submitting the up-to-date financial statement. Let us look at this short engagement and come back shortly.
And I find it very difficult, okay? Because I don't think any of us here, we are taking our time to read, and we appreciate that you also came here. If you are going to help Namibians, fellow Namibians, our people that we represent, you at a town council level, us at a national level, it is really important that we do not take each other or oppose each other, or we trust each other's words as opposed to producing evidence.
Yes.
I cannot come to a hearing and I'm asked about the consultancy, a service that I've sought to train in-house staff so that they are able to have the skill to compile financial statements, to be able to be in a position where they can report clearly. And I fail. The first thing I do, I have consultant, train us on IFSAS, train us on how to keep evidence. Train us on how to keep records, and I come to you and I don't have any records. Mr. CEO, is it really correct? We are asking about how much did the Rundu Town Council, for those 7 years, how much did you spend on your consultant whose report to here says reporting period from 14 July 2025 to 19 June 2026, and you're saying 7 years? Can you just give us some sort of evidence, documentary evidence? So we can also assure ourselves.
Thank you. I think when we read from July, it's certainly it's just a summary of the work that has been done. It's not to say it's just reporting for that kind of thing. And what we are saying is it was conducted to do the financial for the 7 years. And based on that report, the first page, I think it's natural in some way it says we will be able to submit by October 2026. Yes. And the train is that it will be here.
Oh,
so
Jerry,
now,
you mean that October 2026 is not yours? That was silent, sir.
Yes, when we will submit. Because we are working together with the consultant.
No.
All the
no, they consulted something. There might be something that you are not happy with, or there might be. So in other words, we thought when we are proceeding from here, we are saying, look, we are concerned about Rundu, but from the hearing, we want to put in our report. From the hearing, they made a policy, not some consultant who can meet me tomorrow. You know, they would just be a district overplaying. We actually thought, I was very excited as the chairperson of standing from the subcommittee on town council. Because we plan to have a meeting with all these town councils, with CEOs, mayors, and chairperson of management committee. So it basically means we cannot take your October. I don't know what you think, members. I thought the October is council position. But I certainly cannot take a consultant position.
It's our position as
well. Also, you withdraw the consultant duty.
Yes.
So now you. So it's council's position.
Yeah, seriously, there is a legal requirement of submitting where to submit financial statement. It cannot depend on the consultant.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and please, as honorable and valid as said, substantiate your responses or evidences, evidences. That especially the cost regarding the consultants and so on. Is it 7 years contracts? Is it plus minus 2 million? We need to substantiate your evidence. to so much that in that. That's the public funds, yeah?
Because I want to know what kind of training he wanted for training. I just want to verify the type of training that you are
getting for training. No, no, no. We are not training. Yes,
yes, you are working together with that team for something, right? So I just want, you said you have given training to your inmates, your members, to be able to do the right thing. So can I get a proof of those training that you have given them? Because by now, you are not supposed to go to the consultant. For 7 good years, you are being trained on the same thing, and still your people did not do the same, the right thing. Is that what you are saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying. Okay. Mm-hmm. You are not being trained for 7 years.
Huh?
Just on that, so if I understand it correctly, they're being paid approximately 2 million, not for working 7 consecutive years, for working 1 year on 7 years' information. Okay, so 2 million for 1 year. Is that correct? Approximately what they're being paid? The work, the contract. What is the duration of the contract with Virgil Financial Services? That might clarify why. That might clarify.
No, the contract is just up to until it reaches the service financial statement for 7 years.
Yes, but when did the contract start?
June. Yeah, last year June.
Okay, so for clarity, last year June, so the contract has been running for 1 year and it will run until October when they are finished.
Yes.
So that means the 2 million is paid for a 1.5 year's work approximately, since we are speaking in approximations.
Yeah, it's especially for the work, the advantage for the work. Yes.
Okay. So now, on another note, what I want to hear from you, CEO. If those financial statements are not submitted in October, what should happen? What is the accountability measures that you deem fit for not considering that there haven't been any financial statements submitted for 7 years?
Mm.
In your own opinion, what should be the recourse?
Can I also just ask why can you please have the agreement between yourself, the town council, and the consultant?
Yes.
So that we can tighten ourselves, because now we're just speaking in circles. We are really trying to establish this relationship with the consultancy. We're also trying to see, because in your management letter, you acknowledge that there's a shortcoming in terms of skill, in terms of understanding the IFSAS, in terms of understanding the accounting standard. You acknowledge that. In fact, we can go further and say, we acknowledge and we commit ourselves to offering these colleagues some training so that they understand the reporting standard. So really, can we just have the agreement? What is entailed in the agreement? Is it that this consultant is going to become your rapporteur? Basically, the person who reports for all these backlog reports, or there's also an element or component of training, because in the summary report, he does mention that the foundational element of the training is staff capacity. Staff capacity, that's one. Two, general ledger. Three, upkeep and maintenance. Four, asset recognition. So staff capacity, my understanding is that by the end of your agreement with your consultant, I, as a town council, ought to have in-house capacity that now prepares my financial statements, that now keeps documentary evidence in terms of financial statements. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Before you respond, let me use the honorable question.
Yes, Chair, before the
honorable
financial executive responds, I just want to add on to my earlier question again, which speaks to your internal control environment. Mr. Nekaro, under 1.8, unsupported expenditure. The council did not provide expenditure under 2.8. The council did not provide expenditure invoices amounting to 27 million for the year 2020, 14 million for the year 2019, and 16 million for the year 2018. So again, as you are responding on my questions, which are straightforward and specific to the issues, notwithstanding the general comments, honorable members, I want to know, what is your division doing? I think Honorable Ita have asked you a question around record keeping and your information management system. How is it that your division cannot give invoices amounting to the amounts that I've summarized? Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Mr. Medal.
The interventions are becoming too many. Yes. I think allow us to respond, and then it becomes a bit easy. Honorable Peter's question, we are using most of it. That is the financial system that we're using. And as far as filing is concerned, it is a challenge that council has been experiencing. And we are working on it to ensure that we make sure that the documents are read, and when required, we provide them. Do we have an exit meeting with the auditors? Yes, we do. And when we had an exit meeting, there was an expectation from us to provide them with a supporting document that were not found then. We sent it to them, but then it still appears that this thing is still appearing on our audit report. But what we have done is we have come up with those invoices that were not found. And then with the, as far as non-motor invoices are concerned, we have also brought them to the filing for the confirmation of the auditor. The report is that the Honorable Engali has from July 2025.
So you are saying that the evidence, part of the evidence that is submitted to the auditor, but it's the final report still remains the same. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
We are interested in something like, because remember we have also said that we are not only here to hold you accountable, we are also here to hold the AG office accountable.
Yes.
So we are interested in getting a submission on that, because we have a discussion about it. When we put them, they will say, particularly they will say on the donor, we rectify it, but they were.
Yeah, that is what is happening, especially to look at Rundu Town Council in engagement with Parliament Standing Committee on Public Accounts to look at where is the money, how the money was spent, where are the financial records, and also what are some of the capacity, internal capacity that were given, especially by consultants. There are questions around 27 million expenditures not reported, and also to see how this will end. That is part of what is happening, especially that side of Rundu. Let's go to a short commercial break. From there, we'll come back and look at the update to say when it comes to Africa CDC, where is the continent standing? How is the fight against Ebola? And also, what is the Director General of CDC Africa has to say, especially reflecting on the visit of WHO delegation in Africa, and also to look at where the continent is standing, what are some of the measures in terms of capacity, what is the capacity of Africa to fight against Ebola, how is the standing in terms of funding, and we'll look at the future of African health system. Let's come back shortly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
its staff. Wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukurile Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa Ningefata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali Ile kumderewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some time from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relation, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia, make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours. Yeah, moving forward with the radar news bulletin, 32 minutes past the hour of one, we'll look at the Ebola update, particularly looking at the press statement from Dr. Jean Kaseya, the Director General of CDC Africa, and also to see where the continent is standing.
We achieved 4,000 confirmed cases. 4,000. Because this data is from 2 days ago. And we reached 1,800 deaths. This one, as President Tshisekedi said yesterday, it becomes a major concern. A major concern because you can see in my second slide, after 12 weeks, it's almost 9 times more than the West African outbreak. In terms of confirmed cases, 6 times more than the Western African in terms of deaths. We are providing this figure because it's a major indicator for us to say this outbreak is really severe. As Dr. Tedros shared with me yesterday, it's time for WHO and Africa to start to conduct study to check if there is no issue, additional issue, or maybe if the virus is not mutating. Because the level of severity of this Budubungyo outbreak is unprecedented. And we start some studies to understand if there was a mutation, we need to see that and we need to know the way we can address that. We started with 9 F zones. Today we have 51 F zones. This outbreak is just expanding. I know we'll discuss the issue of the boat, but this one was also a major alert that we can get infected everywhere. That one, I discussed that with you in the past. I was saying if there is only one indicator that as Africa CDC we need to follow to say we are on good track or not, is the contact tracing. To simplify the conversation, the DRC 2018 to 2020 Ebola outbreak was the worst one. But we had around 3,400 confirmed cases in 2 years. This one, in 12 months, we have 4,000. In 12 weeks, we have 4,000 confirmed cases. But when we talk about the contact, people were in the contact list. In 2018, from 2018 to 2020, for this Ebola outbreak, we had 8,000 people in the contact list. That was almost around one confirmed case for 57 people in the contact list. For the same outbreak in Uganda, we had an average of one confirmed case and 41 people in the contact list. But what's happening in DRC is one confirmed case for 10 people in the contact list. The concept of contact list becomes even a problem currently. We are moving toward even to consider all Bunia, all Ituri as people in the contact list. Because Bunia is a population of almost around 500,000 people. And if we extend that with other parts of Bunia, the city, we can talk about 800,000 to 900,000 people. But in the context where we see more than 70% of new cases coming from community, not from the contact list, and we have an average of 75 new confirmed cases per day. Just to give you an idea, the outbreak in Uganda, a total of 20 cases. It means every single day, we have three times more than the total number of cases in Uganda. But out of the 75 new cases, more than 70% are coming from communities. It means even the number that I'm giving you is not accurate. We believe that we have more and more cases that we are not reporting. Then, how do you want us to start to monitor the performance of contact list? Then to say we have 75% of people who are following the contact list. This contact list doesn't mean anything because this contact list is not accurate. It's not giving the real figure of this outbreak in DRC. Yes. To support what I was telling you, I'm showing you this slide. You'll see that more than 67% of deaths came from community last week. The This is a major concern. And this is what we wanted the president of DRC to see and to understand that.
Yeah, that is what is happening, especially in Democratic Republic of Congo and neighboring countries, especially when it comes to Ebola, uncontrollable spread of Ebola. And the Director General of CDC indicated that the Ebola of 2026 is worst among the Ebolas of 2018. That was declared as worst of all, but that is what's happening. However, he spoke about what needs to be done, spoke about the challenges, especially where the numbers and statistics are not matching, especially when the medical teams are losing out on tracing contact cases, especially looking at what is happening currently. However, there are efforts from the United States of America and also other developmental partners, speak about the United Nations, and also CDC itself, and African countries presented money to fight Ebola as one of the dangerous health challenge that impact trade, impact human lives, and indeed one of the worst in health history, especially looking at Ebola. So that is what's happening. And also the question of asking to say, how ready is our country, especially to deal with such situation in the event that it happens, and also how ready is the health institutions. For now, let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll be in conversation with Zachariah Johannes, especially to speak about the aspect of the spillover effect of anti-immigrant protests in South Africa, where there is an indication that over 178,000 Africans immigrants have left South Africa. And it was also reported that when it comes to retail shops and manufacturing, the South African Clothing and Textile Workers Union estimate that 15% of the Newcastle and 15,000 strong textile workforce has left amidst the protest. And the question is, for how long before that impact reach Namibia? Or we do not need to panic. Let's look at a short commercial break and come back shortly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
AFM. Ofoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some times from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy,
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99. Get 2 kg of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99. Get 750 ml Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99. You Save. Where else?
Get into touch with global governance, global
diplomacy. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward with On the Radar News Bulletin. We are in communication with Sagaria Johannes, political analyst, to look at the spillover effect of the protests in South Africa, and also to say what is that we expect, especially when it comes to Namibia. We know that Namibia depends on South Africa, especially when it comes to energy, food, export, and also import, and also much of its trading within South Africa. However, whatever is happening in South African economy has a direct impact on the Namibian economy. But we look at what Sagaria has to say. Sagaria, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon, Sen. Thank you for having me.
Yes, let us look at the numbers and the statistics that are coming from South Africa, especially to look at the gap that is left by immigrants. And also to look at the impact of this, especially when it comes to Namibia, either is in terms of supply or in terms of the quality of products that are coming into the country. What when you look at this number, what comes into your mind, especially regarding the economy? Because when somebody is speaking about 15% in the textile industry, that is not a small number. And also to look at what we are getting from SA. What is your general view, especially to look at the impact of anti-immigrant protest?
Okay, thank you for the question. Before we go to that, one thing that comes in my mind first was our history that we shared with South Africa.
Yeah.
And the attempt of South Africa those days to make Namibia a 50 province.
Mm.
So our economy is so much linked to South Africa that whatever happens in South Africa also has an impact to Namibia. Just for observation, if you just go in shops and then just do your own research and then you check how many products that are in our shops that are made in South Africa.
Mm.
Also looking at the types of shops that we have, how many that are South African. So basically, South Africa, or our economy is mostly linked to South Africa because we share so much.
Yeah.
Even our own currency, looking at Namibian dollar and South African rand, our Namibian dollar is connected to the South African rand.
Mm.
And now looking at industries, because what you just said is the number of the disruption of industries, and that automatically disrupts the logistics of supplying products to Namibia, and whatever hit the South African market automatically hit us because we are so much connected to them.
Now looking at the number, especially looking at 15%, especially just at Newcastle strong industry, now what do you think will happen, especially in the next 6 months? And do we need to worry? Do we need to come up with a plan already? Or is something that we need to look at for now?
Okay.
Yeah.
So we are supposed to have a plan already a long time ago before these things happened.
Mm.
And I think with the discovery of oil, some economists have already predicted that we might have come up with a plan whereby our Namibian dollar will be independent, but that can be a discussion for another day.
Mm.
But there's a lot that we need to do, because if you talk of an independent state in terms of the economy, you are supposed to be independent, not for the times that you have to depend to South Africa, because the reason why we depend on South Africa is because of our historical ties that we had in South Africa back then. But now, as an independent country, we are supposed already, you know, to work or to have a project towards our own independence in terms of economic independence, which is not really something easy, but it will take, it's a gradual, you know, type of change that we have. But now, coming back to your question, if now we have to, this is a short-term thing. It only happened, you know, nobody really planned for this, that there will be immigration problems or foreigners that will be chased out of South Africa. But now, as a country, we need to plan ahead on how can we combat these challenges, because they are already here at our doorsteps. And all we need to do is to find or to ask a question of how can we overcome this? What are those strategies and plans that we have to put in place so that we can make sure that at the end of the day, this did not impact us negatively, but we also have measures in place to make sure that we overcome this, because they are already here. We don't have a choice of can we or not. It's a must.
Yeah.
We must come up with a plan.
Yeah. No. I want to get it from you. Looking at other countries, especially those who build advanced countries post, you know, 20th century, most of the advanced countries, they were built by foreigners that were integrated into the system, that were given opportunities. People can be refugees running away from war, but once integrated into the communities and also given that platform, they will be able to build that economy. But now, looking at where we are, especially as Namibians, we are not quite different from South Africa. We also have our own problems with migration. We speak about our good friend Pengeon Dorak from Angola, and from the region, either is SADC or very far from, you know, deep in the continent of Africa. What is the best way to deal with your problems at the home? At the same time, you also utilize the skills that you get, especially from those who come into your country.
Thank you for the question.
Yeah.
And talking of industrialized countries, there's a typical example of America. The America today was not built by so-called Americans, the people who went there, who built a country. This now coming back home to Southern Africa and specifically South Africa, the problem that we have here is too complex. And I think the question of how can, because for me this is human resource. It's for that reason that when they left, a problem arises. And are they ready, South Africans, to chip in? Because one of the reasons why they chased these people out of South Africa was that they are taking up our jobs. But now we have seen problems of production coming up just within a short period of time. I think it's quite, they have a lot of things. But as a country, Namibia, you mentioned the our Angolan kids that just came to Namibia. I think we have to put up measures as a country, first of all, to make sure that how can we make use of these foreigners. Sometimes we need their skills. And we can use their skills to develop our country. Maybe what industry that need those people. Although I know also in Namibia we have our own problem again.
Yeah.
But maybe we can figure out which type of skills that we need from abroad and which type of skills that we have in, so that at the end of the day, we cannot take in people that already have skills that we have in Namibia. And it's the same problem that I think they have in South Africa when they say they are taking up their jobs. It's because maybe they are South Africans with such skills. But anyways, if you look at this whole discussion, at the end of the day, you find out that South Africans are not ready to take up the jobs they claim is theirs. They don't want, because maybe they think they are low-paying jobs, or they think they are jobs that you cannot do as a South African. That thing of pride. So I think it's a really complex issue that we need discussion, that we need deep thinking, that we need deep plans to make sure that we put this in place. As I was listening to the former minister of Foreign Affairs in South Africa, Honorable Narendra Pandor, she raised a very pointed point that the reason why these Africans are running away from other African countries is because of the political failure, governance in their country. That's why they are leaving their countries to go to South Africa. And then when they go to South Africa, they are also going with some problems. I think this whole thing does not require only South Africa, does not require only Namibia or Angola, but it requires what I would call, maybe SADC can chip in, maybe different regional bodies can chip in, different head of state can also chip in, and as presidents, they are supposed to work together. You know, I raised a point of the frontline states that we had back then when South Africa, Namibia, you know, Zimbabwe and other countries were facing colonialism. They came together and asked themselves the question of what should be done collectively as African so that we can solve this African problem. And I think that's the approach that we need to take for now as countries, especially as
African. Now there is a contradictory approach, especially to the pro-continental integration, especially looking at where we want to get into, and also those who are saying migration is disruption. Is that not where we are going? And what is your view, especially looking at migration, especially where we reach a stage where we are saying open borders, everybody is free to trade and move around, or we need a controlled migration? What do you think about that? Because that is where we were supposed to go. We are not ready to be at that stage.
You know, something that I usually tell people is that there's a difference between theory and practice. You know, theoretically, we want a United States of Africa. We want to get away from borders. But in practice, what are those measures that will make sure that story is a success? Because in many cases is that we speak of that, but we are not practicing it. You speak of open borders while you are restricting your borders, while you continue asking people documents. I'm just giving an example. Namibia to South Africa, then I must have passports and all that. So, and even you are so strict to fellow Africans compared to Europeans. When Europeans come, they don't necessarily go through the procedures that Africans go. But because these are Africans, you put for them strict measures. I think we, as governments, need to discuss this issue of how can we make the third dream of Kwame Nkrumah, the United States of Africa, but we are not causing problems as Africans. Because one of the things, one of the legacy of colonialism that was left within us, and it's a mental one, sometimes it's difficult to see, is that we don't really love each other as we claim to. You rather look at Europeans as better friends rather than fellow Africans, but we're supposed to have that brotherhood of Africanism first, you know, as Africans first. So I think we have to start from there, having clear plans, having a clear strategy of, if we are to do this like the way we want to do it, how? It's a how question of how are we going to do this? How are we going to make sure that even if our borders are open, our people, you know, they will not cause what the problems that are happening in South Africa. And I think we cannot reach that plan or that target if we did not improve our economies. First of and foremost, we must make sure that our people are catered in our countries so that they cannot go to other countries. Because if you open borders, not everyone will go to South Africa. South Africa is better than others. I think we should reach the same levels before we start talking all those kinds of things. We must have a different, helping each other to develop at the same pace so that at the end of the day, when we open borders, each and every person will say, no, I'm in Namibia, I have a job, so why would I go to South Africa?
Indeed. Yes, Zakaria Johannes, thank you for your time. Thank you for your input today.
Okay,
right. Yeah, that will bring us to the end of our conversation. That will bring us to the end of On the Radar News Bulletin. And from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. I'll leave you in the good hands of Peneambeko Jonas and also Andreas Erastus with Temoretu. From me, David Shombe, bye-bye. See you around and sharp, sharp.